Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Shabbos Daf Ayin Tes. We're 7 lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Oyer Kedei Lasis Kamiya. What is the minimum measurement of a piece of leather with regard to Hoytzoa to Rishus Rabim on Shabbos? If it has the sufficient amount to encase an amulet, a Kamiya. Boimine Ravim Rav Nachman. Rav asked the following question of Rav Nachman. Hamaitzi Oyer Bekama. What is the minimum measurement for carrying out leather into Rishus Rabim? Now, the Gemara later will explain, we're speaking about partially processed leather. So what is the shear of this leather for the Melacha Vaitzah? Amalek, it is not, as we learned in our Mishnah. Oyer Kedei Lasis Kamiya. Now, as Rashi points out, this was a lead question. It was just trying to lead up to the next questions that he was going to ask him. So this was an obvious question and answer. The Halacha contained in our Mishnah, the shear of Oyer is Kedei Lasis Kamiya, sufficient to make an amulet, to encase a Kamiya with it. If one actually processes leather, he tans it, he does the malacha of ibud, what is the minimum measurement? What is the size requirement for that malacha? There's no difference. Meaning, the same concept applied to the malacha of Aitzah, the measurement of Kedei Lasis Kamiya, that applies to the malacha of ma'abid as well. If he processes a piece of leather that contains these dimensions, he is chayiv for the malacha of ma'abid. He continued asking him, La'avdoi bekama. What if this leather is totally unprocessed, but it is destined in the future to be processed? So what if he carries a piece of leather of this nature into Rishus Rabim? Perhaps it's not so significant as processed leather, and perhaps more is required. Armalei loishna, there's no difference. Whether processed or unprocessed, they both have the identical shear, which is Kedei Lasis Kamiya. Umanatimra, how do you know to equate the two? Perhaps one can draw a distinction. Perhaps unprocessed leather requires more to be regarded as choshev, as significant. So you said kedisnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, with regard to a different context, other malachis, hamalabin, if one washes wool, vamanapet, he combs it, vatsaveya, he dyes it, vatoive, he spins it, how much does he need to do for it to be considered a malacha? Shi'uroi kimaloi roicha vasit kafel. He needs to fill the roicha vasit double. Roicha vasit means distance between the index finger and the middle finger. That's roicha vasit. Kafel means this distance doubled. So if one, for instance, he dyes some wool fibers which contain this distance, the roicha vasit kafel, as long as this thing from this finger to this finger double, so that is the shear that is sufficient for the malacha of tzeveya. And malabin, and manapit, and the toive. The oireg, beis chutin, if one actually weaves two threads, what is the shear for that? Shi'uroi, once again, kimloi roicha vasit kafel. So this concept of roicha vasit kafel, this shear, is applicable to weaving, to spinning, and the other malachas listed here. Alma, he says, apparently, kiven de l'tviya koi, since when one performs the malach of malabin, he washes, he combs, he dyes, why is he doing it? It's anticipation, it's as a preparation for the tviya, for spinning these fibers into threads. So Alma, apparently we see that the two things are related. Kiven de l'tviya koi, since the malachas of malabin and manapets, etc., are done as a preparation, in anticipation for tviya, for spinning, shi'ura ketavui. Therefore, we see that the shi'ur is identical to tviya, to actually spinning. So we see that two things are related. If the shi'ur of tviya, the shi'ur of tavui, is a thread which carries this shear of Malay Recha Vasit Kafel. So subsequently, all malachis, which lead up to Tviya, lead up to spinning, which are done as a preparation for the spinning, also contain the same shear. This is regarded as a significant amount, a significant shear, and constitutes a malach. So we see that two things are very much connected. If this is a shear significant for Tviya, it is a shear significant for the other malachas which are leading up to Tviya. You are preparing this fiber, this material, this thread, which can yield an important sized product, the shear of Lecha Rechav Asit Kafel of spun wool. Therefore, it is regarded as significant for the other malachas as well. Says Rav Nachman, going to apply the same concept to leather. Hachanam here too. Kivan de le'ab de koi. Since this leather, even though it's totally unprocessed, but what's its destiny? What's its intended? What is it intended for? La'ab de koi. It's destined to get processed, to get tanned. Therefore, it has the same shear as processed leather. Shi'urei kim'ubad. Because if this shear, again, we're referring to the share of Kedilasis Kamiya, is considered significant with regard to a tanned piece of leather. Says Rav Nachum, we're going to apply the same share to an unprocessed piece of leather. If one is Moiti, carries out a piece of leather, an unprocessed piece of leather which contains this dimension, the dimension of Kedilasis Kamiya, this too is regarded as significant. A significant chayfet since, when it will be processed, it will yield this important, significant product, a processed piece of leather, the size of Kedei Kamiya. So if Nachman equates it to, he says the shiurim of processed and unprocessed are identical. Okay, continues the Gemara, Rava asked him another question. V'shaloi la'avdei bekama. What if this leather is not destined, doesn't stand to be processed? Now, what is going to be the shear for Hayitzah of this leather? Amar Lei? So once again, Rachman responds, Lo Yishna, it makes no difference. It's irrelevant. Theoretically, it could be processed. It can yield an importantly sized product. Therefore, this size, this dimension has significance, and he is Chayiv on the Melach of Hayitzah. So he asked him four questions. He asked him, what is the shear of Hayitzah on processed, on unprocessed? What is the shear of processing the ibud? And finally, what if the unprocessed leather is not destined to be processed? And on all four things, he gave the same answer, the shear is Kedilasis Kamiya. Says the Gemara, V'lo yishani, be'im u'ubad l'she'inu u'ubad. How can you say there is no difference between processed leather and unprocessed leather? They both have the identical shear of Kedilasis Kamiya. Eisvei, so Rabbi asked him a kasha. We find, perhaps otherwise, we find a halacha which seems to indicate that there is room to differentiate between the two things. We learned the halacha ha-moitzi saman and shruyin. If one carries out samana, these are these herbs for use in the dyeing and the coloring process. So these samana, these herbs are already soaked. So he goes and he carries some of these herbs out and shusarab. What is the shir? Kedei litzboya ben, sufficient amount, quantity to use them to dye, dugma, a small piece of material which is used as a sample. The person who dyes it, the tzaba, will use this as a sample to display to his customers. Li'ira, it's the same shape, the same size, the same shiur, Rashi says, of the ira, which is the piece of material needed for the weaver, which he uses to close up the opening in his tube of that contains the threads. So it's one of these two things, either the size of dugma or size of ira. That is the shear of haitzah, of samon and shirim, sufficient enough to dye this small piece of material. Okay, so that's one halach. V'ilu b'samon and she'ena shirim, however, with regard to herbs that were not yet soaked, so these herbs used for dyeing, which were not yet soaked, tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, a different shear. Klipi, a goyzim, one carries the klipa lacha, Rashi says, a thin skin on the shal klipa ha'egayz, some of the skins of the particular type of skin of the egayz, which is used for dyeing, the klipa rimoinim, pomegranate peels, stis, this is a herb used for blue dyeing, upur for red dyeing. So what is the shear if one carries these items out? So they're unprocessed as of yet, they're unsoaked. Kedei litzboya behen beged katan. He needs to carry out a sufficient amount, which will allow him to dye a small beged lefi svacha. This is a small piece of material placed in the on top and the middle of her head covering. So this seems to be a larger shear, Rashi says, than the shear of the dugma and the ira related to the processed dyes. So apparently, when something is yet unprocessed, it contains less significance, less chashivas. We need a larger quantity in order for it to be considered significant enough for the melacha v'etzah. So we see clearly that we do make that distinction, that differentiation between processed and unprocessed. It says more here as well regarding leather. How can you equate processed and unprocessed leather? It says the Gemara Ha'itmar Allah. But we have learned an explanation on that halacha. Omar Rav Nachman. Omar Rabbi Ravua. You know why there's a difference? A person does not trouble himself to go and begin this process of soaking the dyes for just a small piece of material. It's boya behen a dugma leira. A person will not trouble himself to go through this process, this painstaking, arduous process of soaking those herbs, if he merely needs it for just this little bit of material, this dugma, this ira. Let's take a look at Rashi here. Rashi here is the first wide line in Rashi, in the middle of the wide line. She'en adam tereach v'chul. Explains Rashi, a person will not trouble himself to get into this long and arduous process for just a small piece of material. If he's already going to get involved in the process of dyeing and processing these dyes, soaking them, he's going to already soak and process the herbs, which will suffice for the pisvacha, a larger amount. Once he's going to get into it, he's going to use it for more than just a simple sample. Therefore, we find that the distinction with regard to melacha v'etzah, that if it's samanim, which are shriyim, which are ready soaked, then in that case he doesn't need to begin the process. He's simply taking ready-made dyes. In that case, even a small portion is suitable, is significant. But in the case where he needs to begin the process, he needs to take these unsoaked dyes and begin the process of dyeing them. In that case, we need a larger quantity for it to be worthwhile for him, and therefore the shear given is a larger shear. Continues Rashi, Aval oyer, when it comes to oyer, to leather, Terech adam la'abed kedei kamiya, a person will trouble himself to process, to tan, even a small piece of leather sufficient for the kamiya, for the encasement of the amulet. And therefore, Rav Nachman responds and says, when it comes to oyer, we don't differentiate. Oyer, leather, doesn't require such an arduous, painstaking procedure, and therefore a person will not hesitate to even process a small piece of leather, and therefore even unprocessed leather, which carries the dimension of Kedei Lasis Kamiya, is regarded as significant, and if he carries it on Shabbos, he's chayv. Continues Rashi, Umu'ubad Nami, and the same thing regarding processed leather, Pachos Midei Kamiya Lechashev. If it's too small, not suitable for the amulet, it is not significant. Therefore, processed and unprocessed have the same identical shear. Continues the Gemara, Vareze Roine Gina. So Rav again challenged Rav Nachman. He says, I'm going to find another example where we find a distinction between processed and unprocessed. When it comes to Zeiroi Negina, he sees the garden seeds. The Mekame Dizarinu, prior to planting them, when they were merely seeds, Tanami Lutan Mishnah. Zeiroi Negina Pachis Mikor Gegres. If one carries out into Saravim the garden seeds, what is the shear of Eitzah? Pachis Mikor Gegres, less than the volume of a dried fig. This is the shita of Tanakama. Reviewed by Mesir Oimer, you don't even need that much. Chamisha, merely five seeds are sufficient. V'ilu basa dezarinu. However, after the seed has already been planted, Tanan Rinoit and Mishnah, what is regarded as significant as chashir, even a single one, even a single plant, zevel v'chiladak, if one carries out zevel manure v'chiladak, thin, fine sand, what is the shear of these items for Hitzah? Kedei lezavel boy, kelach shel kruv. Amount sufficient to fertilize with it a kelach shel kruv, one stalk of cabbage. Tiver bekiva, chamayrim kedei lezavel kresha, in order to fertilize one leek. So apparently even one has significance. So why does the Mishnah tell us earlier, when it comes to the actual seeds, it is not significant until it's either close to a gregarious or at least five. Apparently one seed which can produce a single plant is not significant. It must be. The reason is because it's unprocessed. It hasn't yet been planted. Whereas the second Mishnah is talking about fertilizing a creation which was already there, it's already planted. And therefore even one has significance. Apparently something which is unprocessed needs a larger quantity to be considered significant. So once again, Rav Nachman responded, Ha'itmar Allah, but we learned a pshat on this Mishnah, Amar Papa, Ha'dezariah. The second Mishnah is discussing something which is already planted. Ha'dezariah, the first Mishnah is discussing unplanted seeds. And the difference is very simple. Levisha'in Adam Tzureach. First one will not trouble himself. Lo'itzinimo achas, to carry out one seed, Lezariah, to go and plant it. He won't get involved in this lengthy, arduous process of planting his vegetables. If he's only planning, intending on doing one. So he won't carry out one seed for planting. But if it's already planted, if it's already growing, then certainly one has chashivas, one has significance. And that explains the second Mishnah, that when it comes to fertilizing, the fertilization is sufficient for one plant is sufficient. So that's the distinction given by Zriya. Planting is a cumbersome process. Person will not do it for just a single one. So he won't carry out the seed if it hadn't yet been planted. Once again, in contrast to tanning leather, to processing oil, well yes, a person will trouble himself to process even a small piece of leather which has the dimension of lasis kamiya. Therefore, Rav Nachman contends that there's no difference between processed and unprocessed leather, either way, the share of significance is k'dei lasa is kamiya. Even unprocessed leather has significance because the person will trouble himself to process, to tan, even a piece of leather of that size. Says Gemara another kasha. We find a distinction by tit, by clay, by cement as well, by retit. The mekame de ligbalate, prior to mixing it, to kneading it, we find tanya. The Brisa tells us, Moidim Chacham L'Rab Shimon, Chacham agree, they acquiesce to Rab Shimon, but Moitzi Shoif L'Shus Rabim. So this is the Gemara we had yesterday. If one carries wastewater to Shus Rabim, what is the shear? Sheshi'uran B'Ravis. The shear of the wastewater is a Ravis. Vavim, but we ask, Shoif L'May Chazu, what purpose does the wastewater serve? V'Rav Yirmiya L'Gabo Ben Satit. We use it to knead, to mix the tit, the clay, the cement. So we need this large amount of water, this revius, which will produce a large amount of clay, in order for the water to be significant. Vilu basa de gavli, but after it's been already mixed up, the tit, the clay, the cement has already been produced. Tani will learn to write. So what is the shear of it? So on ready-made tit, k'dei lasis ben pikur, a small amount of tit sufficient to fashion the opening of the core of this smelting pot, is to make this little hole there, to use it to blow wind in there and to aid in the refining process. So he makes this little opening there with the tit. It's a very small amount of tit. So why this difference? Why, when it comes to ready-made tit, we say even a small portion is considered to be significant? In contrast to the halacha of the shoifchen, where we require a large amount, which can produce a larger amount of tit. So apparently we see that processed is more significant than unprocessed. And therefore, when it's ready-made tit, even a small measure is significant. But when you need to produce that tit, it's as of yet unprocessed. A much larger amount is required for to have chashivas. Says Rav Nachman, there too, hasam nami, k'damaron, as we said earlier, v'she'en adam tereach, legablas hatit. A person will not trouble himself to begin this process of mixing the clay lasis by pikur, to use it merely for this small function, this minor function of the pikur. Therefore, only if it's already ready-made clay, then we say that a small amount of tit is sufficient, is deemed significant. But if it's yet to be processed, yet to be produced, then we say a person will not begin the process, not bother getting involved in producing tit for a very small amount, and therefore require more, require the revius, which can produce a larger amount of clay. But in contrast, once again, to leather, as in our sugya, a person will trouble himself to tan and to process even a smaller piece of leather, even leather which has the dimension of kedelasis kamiya. Therefore, once again, Rav Nachman contends the shear of both types of leather, processed and unprocessed, are identical. Toshma, come in here. The Omer of Chiyah bar Ami Mishmei Deula, he said the halacha in the name of Ula. Shloisha Oiris Ein, there are three types of leathers. Matzo, V'chipa, V'diftara. So these represent three different stages in the development of the leather, as the Mor will explain. The first thing was matzo. Matzo kemashmoi, as it sounds, matzo is unprocessed bread, and this reflects the unprocessed state of the oil of the leather. It has undergone no processing. Deloy maliach. It hasn't yet been salted. They used to salt it to dry it up. Deloy kamiach. It hasn't yet been put into the solution of the flour solution, which smooths the leather, enables the writing on it. But deloy offits. It hasn't yet been processed with the gall nuts. So this was the gall nuts was therefore to benefit the leather, to allow the writing on it to stick, to hold. So these are three stages in the processing of leather. So we have three different stages here. We have matzo, which has nothing to it. It's raw leather. The kamash yurik, what is the shear of this type of leather, this totally unprocessed leather, with regard to hoitzah of Shabbos, how much is significant? Tani or shmo rav yudah, could they lotzer boy, in order to wrap with it, mishkoilas ktana, a small weight. A small weight, Rashi says, of lead, which would rub out, so they would cover it with a piece of leather to safeguard it. V'kam, what size weight are we speaking about? On Rabbi, a river, the river, the papadisa. A weight called river, the river, Rashi says, a roiva of a litra of the city of Pumbadisa. So this is the size of the weight, and that's how much leather you need in order to wrap this weight. Now, this shear of Kedei Lotzer by Mishkoilas Tana is actually larger than the shear, the dimension of Kedei Lasis Kamiya. So this is the first stage. Unprocessed leather needs a large shear. Continues the Gemara, the next stage, Chipa. This was the next stage leather, which already underwent some minimal processing. The Maliach has been treated with salt, but nothing else. V'dolei Kamiach, v'dolei Ofetz. V'kamashi Urai. What is the share of significance for this type of leather when it comes to Haitza'a on Shabbos? Because it's not, as we learned, Oyer, leather which is partially processed, Kedei Lasis Kamiya, in order to fashion from it a Kamiya, an amulet. So this is a smaller share than the previous share. Since this leather has been partially processed, it's more significant, it's more chashiv, and only needs a smaller share of Kedei Lasis Kamiya. Diftara, this is the leather which was brought up to the next stage. The maliach has been salted, the kamiach has been treated with flour, with the loyofits, but not yet treated with the gall nuts. So this diftara is suitable to write on it. It's not yet fully completed, but it is somewhat more advanced than the other forms of leather. V'kama shi'uroi, what is the shear of this type of leather? K'dei lichtav olav es haget. If you have a sufficient piece of diftara, which is large enough to write a get on it, Rashi explains that we're speaking about just the minimum size get. His name, her name, the edim, the zman, a very short form get. So if the diftara has this this allowance, that is regarded as significant and is the shear of a yitzah on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Katan Emias. In any rate, it says, it gives us the difference, a distinction between processed and unprocessed. Kedei Lotzer by Mishkoilas Ktana. The unprocessed leather, the first stage, the matzah leather, it needs a larger amount, enough to wrap the Mishkoilas. Barabai, Riva derived from Pumbedisa, this weight of Pumbedisa. And this is a larger shear than the shear attributed to the next level of leather, which merely needs kedelasis kamiya. So apparently there's a difference between processed, which only needs kedelasis kamiya, and unprocessed leather, which requires more, because it's not so significant, it's not so chashuv, needs more. It needs a larger volume, a greater amount for itzah Shabbos. This is a kasha, a Rav Nachman who equated the two. Says the Gemara, Hasam bevishula. That discussion, this distinction between processed and unprocessed, where we learned that unprocessed leather needs a larger amount, we're speaking about leather which is fresh off the animal, bevishula, it's, Rashi says it's lach, it's still moist. And it, we use the term bishul, it's like a cooked item, it's wet, it's moist, it's not yet dried up, it's not yet roy, it's not suitable for processing. In that case, we can't give it the same shear as we do to processed leather. It's in its own class, and therefore, since it's not yet destined, it's not yet standing for ibud, for processing, it has its own din, has its own shear, and it needs more for it to be regarded as significant. It needs to have the dimension which allows it to wrap a weight with it. That is considered to be its current function, its current use. It's not yet connected to the process of tanning, of ibud. Therefore, it has its own share. Once again, hasam, this larger amount is speaking about leather, which is bibishula, we're speaking about a leather which is yet fresh and unsuitable for processing. Says in 1 second, we have another kash about tanan, having learned in the Mishnah. Ha beged, what is the minimum dimension of a beged, of a piece of material? Shloisha shloisha lemidras. In order to become tummy tumas midras, which is where the zav would sit on it, even without coming to direct contact, he is metami, this beged becomes a stringent form of tumah, avatumah. So if we have a large size of material, which is 3 tvachim, long by 3 tvachim wide, that is sufficient for tumas midras, as Rashi points out, as opposed to other tumais, where we don't need such a large size material, even 3 etzbois by 3 etzbois is sufficient. But for tumas medras, that requires a larger shear. It's meant to be suitable for sitting on it. So we need 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. The Mishnah continues. So that's regarding material. What about sack? This is made of gold tzir, which is more coarse. So that needs a larger size. Dal, 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. Ha'oir, leather. Hail, hey. 5 tefachim by 5 tefachim. Mapatz, this is a mat. Vav avav, 6 by 6. Beilim medras, these shiurim, these dimensions, apply to tumas medras. Beilim meis, also apply to tumas meis. These are minimum requirements, referring, of course, to the sak, the ur, and the mapatz. These shiurim are applicable to all types of tumas, medras, and meis. V'tani alo, and we have a brace that we learned, which comes to explain this halacha. Ha beged v'hasak v'oir k'shir l'tumah, just as we provided these shiurim, which with regard to tumah, kach shir l'itzah, the same shiurim, the same dimensions are applied to the malacha v'itzah Shabbos. Now, what does the Brisa tell us? What does the Mishnah tell us? The shir of oir for itzah Shabbos is 5 by 5 tefachim. This is a very large size piece of leather. How is this compatible with this sugya? With the sugya, we learned that when we have the shear of leather, of processed leather, which is kedelasis kamiya, and here we have another shear of 5 by 5 tefachim. Apparently, the difference is very simple. We're speaking about unprocessed leather. Unprocessed leather needs a very, very large size. This is a kasha on Rav Nachman, who tells us that both processed and unprocessed have the identical shear. Says the Gemara, Hahu, because tuvla, that leather that is listed in the Mishnah in Kalim, is speaking about leather which was already cooked and hardened and is unfit for any other function other than being used as a mat, as a rug. It's meant to sit on it. So, or says to sit on it, or to use it to as a covering for something. So in this case, it's not ordinary leather, and therefore it has its own shear of 5 by 5 tefachim. Only if it contains that dimension is it suitable for its function. However, in our case, in our sugya, in our Mishnah, we're speaking about leather, which is pliable, which is soft, which can serve ordinary functions, and therefore, yes, says Rav Nachman, we're meant to equate processed and unprocessed leather. They both have the share of kedei lasus kamiya, except for this bishula mentioned earlier, this moist leather, which has a class of its own, and in that case, we need an amount which can wrap the weight. So in summary, we learned the halacha of hamoitzi or, and the Gemara concluded with five categories of different types of leather, which have their respective shiurim, which denote their significance when it comes to Haitzah's Shabbos. We have the hard leather, the kurtuvla, which requires 5 tfachim by 5 tfachim. We have the moist leather, the bishula, which is not yet suitable for processing. In that case, it is only significant if it has the dimension of kedei lotzer mishkoilas tana to wrap with it a small weight. We have the leather which is not yet processed. It's not moist, it's already been dried up, but not yet processed at all. It's called matzah. In that case, even a smaller shear is significant. Kedei lasis kamiya, to fashion from it an amulet. We have the oil which has been partially processed, muliach, been treated with salt, that's called chifa. There too, the shear is kedei lasis kamiya. As Rav Nachman tells us, processed and unprocessed leather both contain the same shear of kedei lasis kamiya. What if the leather has been further processed, maliach and kamiach, which is the treatment of the flower treatment, that's called diftra. It is suitable to be written on, and the shear over there for Haitzah Shabbos is, if it has the measurement kedei lichta v'el of saget, to write on it a get. Now what about leather which has been fully processed, maliach, kamiach, and offits, treated with these gall nuts, that is no longer regarded as or as leather, that's called klaf, parchment. What is the shear of parchment? The Mishnah tells us klaf is if it's large enough to write on it. This small parsha of tefillin, which is the Shema, up until Uchsavtam al Mezuzis Besecha Vesharecha, as we will see in the upcoming Gemara. Says Gemara, Klaf, Kdei Lichtav Alav Parsha Ktano. V'raminu, we have a stira from our brice. Klaf V'duch Sustus, Kdei Lichtav Alav Mezuzah. Now, in order for us to properly understand the upcoming Gemara, describing different forms of parchment, perhaps, let's stop for a short introduction here. So this fully processed leather, this parchment, apparently it was thick, and they used to go ahead and they used to split it along its thickness. They used to splice it into two separate pieces of parchment. The top portion was called klaf. The bottom was called duchsustus. Tosfos says duchsustus is a combination, a combo word. Duch in Greek, in Lashon Yavin, means place. And sustus means flesh, basar. So the bottom portion of the parchment was the one actually sitting on the flesh. Therefore, it's called duch sustus, the place of the basar. So duch is the place, sustus is the basar. Now we're going to learn that tefillin are meant to be written on the klaf. So this is the upper portion of the parchment, and mezuzah is meant to be written on the duch sustus. Both parts together comprise something called gvil. This is the unsplit, unspliced parchment, on which a sefer Torah can be written on. Now, tefillin are written on klaf. On which side of the klaf? On the side which is facing the air, the makom seir, the side which contains the hair of the animal, or the lower side, the underside of the klaf, which is called the makom basar, since it's the side which is facing the flesh of the animal. So tefillin are meant to be written on the underside of the klaf, on the klaf b'mokim basa. On the other hand, we have mezuzah, which is meant to be written on the chsustus, which is the lower half of this parchment, but on which side of the chsustus? So the lower side is called mokim basa, the side which was facing the flesh, and the upper side is called the mokim ser, which is it's facing outward, it's facing up to the area of the hair. So indeed, that is the surface which a mezuzah is meant to be written on the duchsustus, b'makom seir, on the side of the duchsustus which is facing the hair, away from the animal. So this is a short introduction to the upcoming Gemara. Once again, tefillin, meant to be written on the klaf, which is the upper portion of this parchment, is meant to be written on the underside of that klaf. Duchsustus is meant for mezuzah, which is the lower portion of this parchment. On which side of the zustus? On the upper side, on the side which is facing away from the flesh of the animal. Let's see the Gemara again. Let's start from the beginning. Klaf, the Mishnah told us that parchment, which has a dimension, k'dei lichtavel of parshak tana of tefillin, it's small enough, it's large enough, it's very small, but it's large enough to write on it the small parsha of Shema up until Uvisharecha, which is the smallest parsha of tefillin, that is deemed significant enough for the melacha v'etzah. V'ramenu, we have a braisa which tells us otherwise. Klaf v'duch sustus, k'dei lichtavel mezuzah. It needs to be large enough to write on a mezuzah. Mezuzah contains both parshas, Shema and Vayim Shemaya, which is larger, requires more space than the parsha ktana of tefillin, which is merely Shema until Avisharecha, which is only one parsha. So we have a stira here between the Mishnah, which requires a smaller amount of klaf, and the braisa, which seems to indicate we need a larger size klaf, sufficient to write a mezuzah. Says the Gemara, my mezuzah? What does it mean? What does the term mezuzah mean? Mezuzah shebet tefillin. It's not referring to a mezuzah placed on a doorpost, but rather the parsha of the tefillin, the smallest parsha, and indeed it's compatible with the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, v'karlu l'tefillin mezuzah? Is that the way to relate to a parsha of tefillin? We call it mezuzah? And yes, v'atanya, as we learned in the Braisa, ritzuois tefillin ima tefillin. Metamais seseidayim, we know the Chachamim applied a tumah with regard to Truma. We learned this in Daf Yudalid, that Chacham were concerned that there was this practice to place the food, the Truma, next to the Tefillin, and the mice would come, eat the food, and damage the Tefillin. So the Chacham said that if one touches the Tefillin with his hands become a Sheni L'Tuma, pertaining to Truma. So if he touches Truma, he's Metamei the Truma. So if he touches those Tefillin, hands become Tamei. Now what about the straps? Are the straps regarded as part of the tefillin when it comes to this takana, this gzera? Says the Braisa, Ritzua is tefillin ima tefillin. If they're connected, yes, metamas say daim, then they regard as part of the tefillin, and they too are metamas they daim. Not only if he touches the actual tefillin, but also the Ritzua is metam. Bifnei atzman, but if they're independent, they're not connected to the tefillin, e metamas say daim, then they're not metamas the hands. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Reb Shimon, he's actually more lenient. Hanegeb Ritzua tor. If he touches the ritzua itself, the strap, he's tar. Achi yiga b'ktsitza, until he actually touches the box of the tefillin. Rav Zakai mishmoy yomer, Rav Zakai says the name of Shimon, even more lenient. Tar, he's tar, achi yiga b'mzuza atzma, until he touches the actual parchment. So you have three shittas. We have the first shita which says the straps are metame, as long as they're connected to the tefillin. The next shita which says straps are never metame. The third shita says the only thing that's matami is the mezuzah atzma, the parchment itself, the parsha in the tefillin. So we see that the term mezuzah relates to a parsha in the tefillin. So indeed, that explains the earlier price. Klaf v'duchsustus k'tei lichtalav mezuzah. It's simply referring to the parsha of tefillin, and indeed, it's aligned with the shiur of our mishnah. Says the Gemara, but it can't work. V'hamigatani seifa. If we'll take a look at the latter part of that braisa, of the braisa which we begun with, the klaf v'duch sustus k'tei lichtalav mezuzah. If you'll drop down to the lower portion of the braisa, what does it say there? Klaf k'tei lichtalav parsha talan shem tefillin. What is the shear of Haitzah Shabbos when it comes to parchment? Klaf, which again is the upper portion of the parchment. The shear is k'tei lichtalav parsha k'tan shem tefillin. In order to write on it a small parsha of tefillin, shishma Yisrael. So if the Braisa elaborates on klaf as it pertains to the Shema of the tefillin, mechlal dereisha, apparently the first part of the Braisa, b'mezuzah atzma askinan, the second part of the Braisa already explains to us, already gives us the shear of klaf as it pertains to the small parsha of tefillin. Apparently the opening portion of the Braisa, which says klaf v'duch sustus, k'tei lichtav olav mezuzah, is telling us a different halach, a different shir. A shir of mezuzah atzma. That klaf v'duch sustus need to contain an area sufficient to write a mezuzah. It can't be that mezuzah here is referring to tefillin. That's already explained, that's already stated in the second portion of the braisa. Apparently mezuzah really means literally mezuzah. Now mezuzah, it contains both parshas, Shema Eva and Shemaya. It's larger than the parsha k'tana shebet tefillin. So we have a contradiction, a stira. The Braisa tells us that the share of klaf needs to be large enough for mezuzah. It's incompatible with our Mishnah, which tells us that klaf needs to be smaller. Even if it only has the amount, the space to write a small parsha of tefillin, which is one parsha, is sufficient. Says the Gemara, Hochi Gitan. This is what the Braisa means to say. The Braisa begins by giving us an opening statement. Klaf v'duchsustus, both forms of parchment, the klaf and the duchsustus, shiur become. What is the shiur regarding Atzilas Shabbos? So it's an opening statement. Klaf v'duchsustus, what is their shiur? And the Braisa continues to elaborate. Duchsustus, k'dei l'chtav al mezuzah. What is the shiur of duchsustus? Since it is meant to have a mezuzah written on it, so indeed, what is the minimum measurement for the chsusus for Shabbos? The size required to write on it a mezuzah, which is a larger size, because it's intended for mezuzah. Klaf, what is the shear of klaf, which is the upper portion of the parchment, which is intended for tefillin? Over there we follow the shear of tefillin. So indeed, this price is fully compatible with our Mishnah. The price begins by saying, klaf with the chsusus, what is the shear? For Yitzhak Shabbos, when it comes to klaf or duchsustus, the answer is duchsustus is connected with mezuzah, therefore needs to be large enough to write on it the entire mezuzah. What is the shear of klaf? That's intended for tefillin, therefore a smaller measure is sufficient, the amount necessary to write on it the smallest parsha of tefillin. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav, duchsustus hareik klaf. So even though ideally tefillin are meant to be written on klaf and mezuzah on duchsustus, however, says Rav, b'di'evet, they both have the same halacha. Duchsustus is like klaf. What does he mean to say? Ma klaf, koysim alot tefillin. Just as tefillin can be written on klaf, af duchsustus koysim alot tefillin. Tefillin can be written on duchsustus as well. So if he switches things around, it's still kosher. Says the Gemara Tanan, we're going to now mention klaf. What is the minimum measurement of klaf for Hoytzal Shabbos? What is regarded as a significant piece of klaf if it's suitable for the purpose which it's intended for? K'dei lichta balosh pashak tanah shebetfil, shishma Yisrael. Says the Gemara, klaf in. This share is regarded as the minimum for klaf since it's intended for a tefillin. But the chsustus, loy. However, the chsustus doesn't have the same share because the chsustus is not intended for tefillin. It's intended for mezuzah. Therefore, it requires a larger measure, a larger amount, suitable for mezuzah. So apparently, tefillin are not meant to be written on duchsustus. And this is a kashan rav. Says more le mitzvah. We're speaking about the ideal way of doing, of writing down the tefillin. And indeed, the tefillin are meant to be written on klaf. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi here is in the middle of the, just about in the middle of the amud. It's around 19 or 20 lines from the top. Rashi begins with the word lemitzvah. Explains Rashi the Gemara. Lemitzvah, mitzvah min ha-mufchor klaf bina. Certainly initially, in order to do a mitzvah properly, mitzvah min ha-mufchor, in the most preferred manner, certainly all agree that we require klaf for tefillin. Therefore explains Rashi, ustama dechol inish. We can assume that every person, mitzvah ma'al yisavid, a person is trying to do a mitzvah in the most preferred manner, he's going to write his tefillin on klaf, l'chatchila, the way it's meant to be. Hilchach, says Rashi, therefore, lo yimatzna duchsustus lo tefillin. He's not going to retain, to store duchsustus for tefillin. V'havle ein matznin kamayu. Therefore, this is regarded as something which is a type of thing which is not stored for this purpose. Therefore, since it's not intended, ideally it's not intended for tefillin, duchsustus is meant for mezuzah. Therefore, carrying out a small piece of the chsustus, which is sufficient to write out a small parsha of tefillin, is regarded as something unsuitable, something which is ematznin kamayu, something which is not regarded as something significant. One doesn't store it for this purpose. And therefore, if he carries it out, he carries out a small piece of the chsustus, which can be used for the parsha of tefillin. It's not regarded as chasha, as significant. It's not really meant for that. A person doesn't keep his chsustus for his tefillin. Therefore, it has no chashivas in that regard, and it is not regarded as a malacha b'itzah. So once again, although Rav maintains that if one should write his tefillin on the chsusus, it's kosher. But nevertheless, when it comes to Malacha Vayitza, we don't regard the chsusis as something suitable for tefillin. Continues the Gemara Tashma. Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai, tefillin ala klaf. So there's halacha received from by Moshe from Sinai that tefillin are meant to be written on the klaf. Umezuzal d'chsusis. Now, which side of the klaf are tefillin meant to be written? Which side of the chsusis is the mezuzah meant to be written on? Says the Brice, klaf b'mokim basa. So tefillin are meant to be written on the klaf. On which side? On the mokim basa, on the lower portion, on the underside of the klaf. The side which is facing the flesh, which was facing the flesh when it was on the animal. Dechsustus b'makam ser. On which side of the dechsustus is one meant to write the mezuzah? B'makam ser. On the side of the dechsustus, which is facing outward, facing away from the flesh, facing the direction of the ser of the hair. So you see clearly that tefillin are meant to be written on cloth and not on the dechsustus. This seems to be a kashan ra. That's a more mitzvah. Certainly, the Brice is discussing the preferred manner, the mitzvah manner of doing it, the proper way of doing it. Certainly, it's tefillin on cloth, but b'di'evit. If he were to switch it, perhaps it's kashan. Va'atanya, but I haven't learned the Brice. Shina puzzle. If he switched things around, he's puzzle. Says more a mezuzah. That Brice, which doesn't allow you to switch things, is referring to mezuzah. So if he puts the mezuzah on the cloth, certainly it's possible. However, the tefillin on the chsustus is kosher, v'atanya. But having learned in a different brisa, shina b'zeh u'b'zeh possible. If you switch both around, they're both possible. This implies that, in both cases, mezuzah and tefillin, any deviation invalidates. So it's more idi a mezuzah. Both are referring to mezuzah. The brisa which says shina b'zeh u'b'zeh is possible is referring to a deviation of mezuzah. Two forms of deviation. The first case is referring to dechasvinu aklaf makam ser. If he takes the mezuzah instead of writing it on the dechsustus, he writes it onto the klaf. Even if he should write it on the proper side of the klaf, meaning the side facing outward, facing the ser, which is the right direction on which a mezuzah is meant to be recorded, because once again a mezuzah is on the dechsustus b'makam ser, on the side of the dechsustus facing outward, facing the hair. So even if he should write the mezuzah on the proper side of the parchment, but he uses the wrong parchment, he writes it on the klaf. In that case, it's pasul. Certainly, if he writes it on the underside of the klaf, which is the mokim basa of the klaf. So that's the first case. Shinu bazeh, one type of deviation is writing on the wrong type of parchment. Inami. Alternatively, adachsustus mokim basa. If he deviates by writing the mezuzah on the right material, on the chsustus, but he writes it on the wrong side, on the side of the chsustus, which is facing the flesh, that too invalidates the mezuzah. So when the Brisa says shina b'zeh u'b'zeh, it's referring to two types of deviation of mezuzah. However, a deviation by tefillin is kosher. If you should write the tefillin on the chsustus instead of klaf, perhaps that would be kosher. V'boyesema, we have another pshat. Shina b'zeh u'b'zeh, this Brisa which maintains that any type of deviation, whether tefillin or mezuzah, would invalidate tanoi. It's actually based on machlokes tanoi. Desanya, shina b'zeh u'b'zeh pasul. So any sort of change, whether it's tefillin on the chsustus, whether it's mezuzah on klaf, it is pasul. So this is one sheet. But Rav Acha, machshir, mishum Rabbi Acha bar Chanina. So Rav Acha, the name of Rav Acha bar Chanina says, it's kosher. A shina of tefillin is kosher. And indeed, this aligns with Rav, who tells us a shina of tefillin, if he should write the tefillin on the chsustus, it would be kosher. Some say that Rav Acha was actually quoting Rav Acha bar Chanina, that if he would switch around the tefillin and write it on the chsustus, it would be kosher. So indeed, this halacha depends on this tanoim. Says the Gemara, Rav Papa Omar, Rav the Omar, Ketanet Ve'Menashe. We have another source for Rav Shita that writing tefillin on the chsustus is kosher. The Ketanet Ve'Menashe, Kosval on the Yor. If you wrote it on paper, vala matlas on a rag, plusula, it's possible. Ala klaf on parchment, vala gvil, this is the complete parchment, unsplit, vala dechsustus, this is the lower part of the parchment, kshera, it's kosher. Now, what did he write? What is he referring to? Kosva mai. What did he write? Ilema mezuzah. Are we speaking of mezuzah? It can't be. Mezuzah klaf mikasvinan? Can one write a mezuzah on klaf? Nobody holds that a deviation by mezuzah is acceptable. Ela, laf tefillin. The Braisa here must be referring to tefillin. And the Braisa tells us the writing tefillin on the sustas is also kosher. Indeed, this supports Rav's sheet. Says the Gemara, according to you, tefillin on gvil mikasvino, the Braisa tells us that if he writes it on klaf, on the sustas, and on gvil as well, it's kosher. Certainly, you can't write tefillin on gvil. Ella, it says rather, ketanya ibe sefer Torah. Apparently, this Braisa is discussing sefer Torah, which can indeed be written on klaf, on gvil, and on the sustas, and it's unrelated to tefillin, and unrelated to Rav. Continues the Gemara, Levi Masayele, perhaps we can bring a right to Rav from the following Braisa. The Braisa is Maseches Menaches, which tells us a rule. One may only upgrade when it comes to matters of Kedusha. For instance, he can turn his Shal Yad into a Tefillin Shal Roish, because Tefillin Shal Roish is on a higher level, because it contains both letters of the Shem Shakai, the Shin, and the Dal, which is formed in the Ritzuis on the back of his head. Whereas the Shal Yad only has the Yud, so one can turn the Shal Yad into Shal Roish, but cannot downgrade the Tefillin Shal Roish into a Tefillin Shal Yad. Chayetzubi, a similar halacha. Tefillin Shabalu, what about tefillin which became worn out? With Sefer Torah Shabalu, or a worn out Sefer Torah? Ein oisin mehem mezuzah. One cannot fashion from them a mezuzah. He can't extract the parshias needed for the mezuzah from the tefillin of Sefer Torah. Why? Lefi she'ein moridin, mekdusha chamura, lekdusha kala. Because one may not downgrade from a higher level of sanctity to a lower level. He cannot turn a tefillin as Sefer Torah into a mezuzah. Taima dein moridin. Apparently the reason is only because of this problem, this objection of downgrading. Ha moridin oisin. But if not for this objection, technically speaking, one can turn a tefillin or a sefer Torah into a mezuzah. Now we know that a mezuzah needs to have the chsustas. Says the Gemara, these tefillin that we're going to use, the chsiva amai, what were these tefillin written on? La de chsiva de chsustas. Apparently, it was also written on the chsustas. And therefore, technically speaking, we would be able to take the parish from the tefillin, which is the chsustas, and use it for mezuzah. We have a right to Rav. That tefillin may be written on the chsustas. Says the Gemara, no, the chsiva la klaf. The tefillin was written on klaf. And the mezuzah can be kosher even if it's klaf. Says Gemara, is that so? A mezuzah klaf mikasvina? Can one write a mezuzah on klaf? And yes, v'atani, as we learned, kosval a klaf. If he wrote the mezuzah on klaf, al aniyar, on paper, on matlas, on a rack, psula, it's possible. Amar Rav Shimon Elazar, Rav Meir, haya kosval a klaf. He would specifically write a mezuzah on klaf, b'nei shemishtam meres, because it endures. Therefore, we see that there's a shita that allows mezuzah to be written on klaf. And indeed, that is a pshat in that braisa, which allows, would theoretically allow a tefillin to become a mezuzah, because the tefillin was klaf, and the mezuzah can be written on klaf as well. Says the Gemara, hashtadah says lachi. Now that you've come to this point, that mezuzah can also deviate, that instead of writing on the sustas, when we write it on klaf, it's also kosher. If so, let's rearrange Rav's sheet. L'Rav Nami, let's come up with another version of Rav's halach. The Rav Nami, loitem, don't say the Rav meant to say, duchsustas hareka klaf, that the sustas is like klaf, and the tefillin can be written on duchsustas just as it can be written on klaf. Ela'ema rather say as follows. Rav was allowing a deviation by mezuzah, not by tefillin. Ela'ema says as follows. Klaf, harayuhu k'duchsustas. Klaf has the same din, same status as duchsustas, meaning, ma duchsustas, koisnol of mezuzah, just like a mezuzah can be written on duchsustas. Af klaf, koisnol of mezuzah, a mezuzah can be the evit, be written on klaf as well. So we have two versions of Rav. The initial version of Rav was that he allowed deviation by tefillin and not by mezuzah. The second version was, no, Rav allowed deviation by mezuzah and not by tefillin. So in summary, mitzvah min ha-mufcher l'chatchila, one is meant to write tefillin on klaf, mezuzah on the sustas. We have two versions of Rav. According to the first version, Rav allowed deviation by tefillin, but the evidence can write it on the sustas as well. Mezuzah tolerates no deviation, as the Braisa tells us, shina bezeo bezeo pasal. According to the second version of the Gemara, Rav allowed deviation by mezuzah. If he was to write the mezuzah on klaf, it is also kosher. Tefillin must remain on the klaf, and according with the Braisa, which tells us, shina bezeo bezeo pasal, which as Sais explains is referring to the tefillin on the klaf. Okay, time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We began with aloha v'amoytzi or, and the Gemara gave us five categories of leather. Hard leather needs five tfachim by five tfachim. Moist leather needs an amount suitable to wrap the weight. Leather which is not moist, but not yet processed. The shear over this, because it lasts is kamiya. What if it's already been partially processed, maliach, treated with salt? That is also the shear of glasses kamiya. What if it's more processed, maliach v'kamiach, suitable to write on it, the shear over there is seylichta v'saget? What if it's fully processed? That's called klaf. The shear over there is seylichta of parshak tana shebetfilin. As the Gemara elaborated on these different forms of parchment, klaf has a shear of parshak tana shebetfilin. The chsustas, which is the lower portion of the parchment, was suitable for mezuzah. The shear over there is to write a mezuzah on it. We conclude with the halacha of Rav, who tells us sometimes deviations are permitted b'di'evet. We have two versions, whether the deviation applies to tefillin and his machshav tefillin on the chsustas as well, or the heter of Rav applies to mezuzah and his machshav and mezuzah, which was written on klaf.